We live, we die, what's the purpose of life? Brother Eddie gonna show you on the Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. We have another exciting show for you. Every week we have an exciting show with you with exciting people who join us. This week on the Deen Show, my next guest who was with the likes, singing with, working with, Run DMC, Sinead O'Connor, Alexander O'Neill, and many, many other famous songwriters and singers. But today, he's on the Deen Show, Abdul Rol, to tell us his story and his journey to Islam. We'll be right back on the Deen Show.
Deen, Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Peace be with you.
To you, brother. To you.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm not too bad. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us here on the Deen Show.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, the time is short, and we love to give people that nice taste so they can continue coming back and they can continue to look into Islam, and we clear a lot of the misconceptions. We have a lot of scholars who come on, and we also give the people a treat, people who come from other faiths. Mm-hmm. They used to be Christian like you were, and people who have had many different experiences, and you used to be with the likes of working with Run DMC. These are like the founders or like the icons or the originators of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start from there. Tell us of your days when you were back with some of the likes of Run DMC, Sinead O'Connor. Who was it out?
Well, it was, I was working for a record company back in the day. And what we did was we actually bought the rights of Alexander O'Neill's tracks, it was Fake and Criticize.
Yeah.
And we met him in the studio. We'd done the remixes. He was a very nice, man, you know. He had some some issues, but we're not going to go into any of that.
Yeah.
But it was nice working with him. Run DMC was a remix.
Yes.
And his wife, Justine Simmons.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know how to describe her vocals, but I think I don't think she did any more work after that particular track.
Yeah.
And that was very short-lived, that little experience there. And the same with Sinead O'Connor, that was a remix. Yeah. That I did, so I didn't actually get to actually physically work with her.
Mm-hmm.
It was just doing a remix of a track that was called A Thousand Mirrors, which was a beautiful, well-written track. And alhamdulillah, the remix that I did was well received.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
Now you said something in Arabic, and I always say that just for the not yet Muslims who tune in, they think we're saying some code words. What did you say? Alhamdulillah, what does that mean?
Alhamdulillah, that's all the thanks and praises are to Allah, the Creator.
And then right there, there's a roller coaster effect. You said Allah, and somebody is going to think this is some Arab God, a moon God. Who's Allah?
Allah is the one God, the one God. True God.
The one God.
Yeah.
The God of Abraham.
The God of Abraham.
Of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ.
Of Musa. Moses. All the prophets.
That's right.
Creator of the sun and the moon.
All right.
Creator of everything that exists. That's Allah.
That's Allah.
Yes, and it's just one extra note on that, that it's a sister language to Arabic, Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, they don't reflect and they don't think that Jesus, he never spoke English. Mm-hmm. He spoke Aramaic.
Mm-hmm.
And he would say Allah.
Uh-huh.
Allah, Allah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same God Jesus is calling upon.
Yeah.
That's the one who you're praising and thanking. Thank you for clearing that up. And now you're with some of the celebrities. You were performing at concerts. Your dream is to be a star?
Oh, yeah, you could call it a dream.
Back then?
Yeah, back then.
And these are days that we call Jahiliyyah.
Oh, yeah.
So we want to give the people kind of just a taste of what you were living and then how you came to the sweetest of things, Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So what? Give us a how was things going? What were you aspiring to be? Were you trying to be on MTV? Were you on MTV? What were you wanting and striving to accomplish?
I was striving to be a so-called, you know, R&B superstar, if there's such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was working out of Toronto, New York, and Los Angeles. I worked with many different producers and songwriters, and did a few albums as well.
Russell Simmons?
Well, I didn't get to work with him.
He's like a famous producer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he is.
Did you know him?
No, not personally, no. Yeah. But, you know, I had some, you know, some very good interest from one of the prominent writers and producers from Los Angeles. He goes by the name of Babyface. He's produced all of the top artists in
America. I've heard of him, Babyface.
Yeah. You know, it's been a long time ago. I can't even remember his name.
It's been a long time ago, yeah, too, but these names, these are popular figures.
Yeah, they still are today.
Yeah, they still are,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah. You know, I was just striving to get to the top of that so-called ladder. And
why? For money? For fame?
For money, for fame, you know. But this is what I'm saying. For me, whilst I was taking that journey, I never ever felt as though I was doing something that I was totally satisfied with. There was always, how can I put this? I always felt as though I was acting. A certain part of me was always acting, never being totally real.
Real to yourself?
Yeah, real to myself and to others in that field.
A facade.
Yeah.
You were putting on a show.
Yeah.
Mr. Showman.
Yeah, Mr. Showman. But, you know, like I said, when I was on stage, I never really felt like, you know, I was being myself.
Yeah. Now, at what age did you start to sing and did you start to get involved in the music business?
When I was about maybe 17, 18, I started to, you know, sing. I used to, my brother was classically trained on the piano, so mm-hmm. I sort of like used to watch him, so I kind of learned a few scales and a few chords on the piano, but I wasn't really singing until maybe I got to about 17, 18. So people told me that I had a good voice,
yeah,
and it started to develop from there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So you were also, I mean, from a Christian family, did you sing also in the choir?
No, I didn't actually, but I used to be an altar boy.
An altar boy, yeah. All right.
Every Sunday, yeah.
What, so were you practicing Christianity? Was your family Christians? Were you going to the church?
Yes, this is what I was doing every Sunday.
At the same time?
Not
singing?
No, I wasn't singing at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. But you sing on Saturday, hang out at the church on Sunday?
I used to go to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
I used to do my little thing. I used to play the piano every Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And that was more or less how that.
Okay, so how are you mixing the two in? What is, you know, are you godly? Are you looking, you know, to like, are you religious? Are you not religious? You know, you got the music thing going, you're aspiring, you know, you're at the club. I'm sure we're not going to get into details. There's drinking, there's all sorts of things going on there. But then there's the church. So where are you at now?
Well, I was going to church, doing my thing, and then slowly came away from the church, but always had the Creator in mind, because my mother taught me about God. She didn't teach me about him having any partners or nothing like that. She just taught me about God.
Okay.
So that's how I understood.
Yeah. Okay, so you were just like most people, they're born in a family, they don't question anything, and you're just feeling like this is the right thing.
Yep.
Now, at what point did you start to question? At what point did you decide, okay, you know what, I got to get a little more serious? And at what points did you start to ask the more crucial questions, like what's the purpose of life?
Well, you know, I went through quite a bit in my lifetime where I didn't ask any of those questions.
Yeah.
You know, because I was too busy doing things that, you know, I wanted to do for myself, and didn't, you know, I always had, you know, God in mind, but I still went on about doing my business and just left all that religious stuff behind.
Yeah.
But along the way, a couple of Muslim brothers stopped me in the street and asked me if, you know, I knew anything about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, which at that time I didn't.
So was this just a random night?
Yeah,
going on the street?
Yeah,
they had like a dawah table?
No, it wasn't a dawah table. It was just a brother who just came up to me. I don't know why, but he just came up to me in the street and asked me.
So a Muslim approaches you?
Yeah, he just approached me in the street and asked me, you know, it's just my brother, you know, can I have your time? Can I speak to you for a couple minutes? I was like, okay.
So let's take a break now, and we're going to find out what this Muslim said to you. We'll be right back.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative, but at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet ﷺ never ever start a war against anybody.
Back here on the Deen Show with Abdullah Rowe, and you're talking to us about your journey to Islam, which Islam simply means to acquire peace by submitting, surrendering your entire self to the one God, because he owns peace. You can't get it unless you get it from the one God.
That's right.
That's Islam. And a Muslim is one who does Islam. So this Muslim approaches you out of the blue, and he's like, what?
Well, at first, I was prepared to stand and talk with him.
Where were you going?
I can't remember. I just know I was going to a rehearsal.
Okay.
That's right. Yeah. I was going to rehearsal. So I was kind of like in a hurry. Then he asked me a few questions, and then he went towards, do I know anything about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him?
Yeah.
And I'm sure I told him my background was from the Christian faith. So he made reference to the Bible and asked me, have I not read about Muhammad in the Bible?
Muhammad in the Bible?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said to him, no. And then I thought, you know, I really don't have any time for this.
Like most people, we don't got time for it.
Yeah, so he, you know, spoke a little bit more, and then I said, look, I've got to go because I'm late. Yeah. And that was the end of it.
So he just dropped the seed or something?
Yeah, that's exactly what he did, because the thing is, I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
You know, even though it did not have an effect on me at that time, it's something that stayed with me because I've never forgotten it.
It's just like one of those spontaneous things that happen in your life, and one out of a million chance that someone just comes up to you and starts talking about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, so you leave that off now. You go, I got to go. I got to get this Grammy. I got to work for that. Okay, what happens next?
Well, it's quite a bit of time has elapsed since then. And I find myself listening to a lot of conspiracy theories, documentaries, and so on and so forth. They're interesting, informative, but they wasn't feeding my soul at all. So I remember I moved to East London. It was an Islamic bookshop. And me and my son were standing outside that bookshop, and I said to my son, do you know, I really need something to feed my soul. I've got so much information at home, but it doesn't do nothing for me. I just need something that's going to feed me.
So at what point, where were you in your music career now? Did you have like many of the things that you know, women, money, good times, what people perceive as good times?
Mm-hmm.
You were having that?
I passed through that.
You passed through that?
Yeah.
It didn't taste the same?
No.
It got played out?
Yeah.
Okay, so now something, the soul is calling for something?
Yeah.
Okay, and then what happened?
My son, you know, alhamdulillah, he turned around and said to me, Dad, look at this poster.
Uh-huh.
And the poster said, the purpose of life. Uh-huh. And it had a picture of a baby on the front of it.
Yeah.
So I thought, that looks really interesting. So I walked into the shop. Oh, by the way, it was part one.
Yeah.
So I walked into the shop and I spoke to the brother, and he said to me, you know, showed me the shelf with the DVDs. It was part two, part three. And I was just like, you know, I want all of this because it looks really interesting. He said to me, no, brother, just take the first one, which is what I did. I took it home. I put it in. It was a lecture by a brother called Khalid Yassin.
Khalid Yassin, Purpose of Life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. When he started to speak, I paused it.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I need to have something to eat, have a wash, sit down and watch this, because this sounds like it's going to be very serious.
Well, you just happen again to be somewhere again where some
that's right.
some Muslims are,
yep.
and you see a DVD, you're in front of this Muslim shop.
Because yep. he had the window, it was like there was books and DVDs, and it looked very attractive.
Yeah.
So I just stopped and looked at it.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was my son who pointed it out to me.
Yeah. Okay, so now you take this, you're yearning for something more than just the material things, just seeking the pleasures of the body. Your soul is yearning. You get this purpose of life, you get home, and what happens?
I just knew it was going to touch me. That's why I stopped it. I thought, because it's about 2-3 hours long.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I really need to be sitting down, relaxed to take all of this in. And sat back down, started to listen to it. And the words that, you know, I was hearing, it was like I was being reborn. And also at the same time, it was though everything I was hearing, I already knew it. It was just laying dormant and waiting to be woken up again. And
and
I knew, you know, I thought to myself, yeah, this is definitely for me. Until he said, you have to pray 5 times a day.
Uh-oh.
This was Shaitan knocking on the door.
Because
I was like, no, I don't have time for that, you know, because I'm still on, you know, my music thing, and, you know, I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So continue to listen to it. And, you know, I felt, it definitely had an impact on me.
Yeah.
But the one thing that stood in my way was the fact that you'd have to pray 5 times a day. And I didn't understand the timings, but I knew it was in the morning, afternoon, late afternoon and evening and night, I thought, no, that's I can't do that.
But everything else about what he explained, the purpose of life, was it something where you felt like, okay, something came upon you, over you, was it something mystical, or was it something that you used your brain and just opened your heart so your heart was ready to take in the truth? And was it something that it was intellectual, it stimulated you mentally?
That's exactly how it was. You know, it came, my mind was listening to these words, and whilst it was trickling down here, I could, you know, I just knew that what I was hearing, it was true. It was the truth, and it was from Allah.
Was it rational, logical?
It was rational,
scientific,
logical. It was scientific. He used as many examples as he could to try and, you know, to shed light on you know, what people have a lot of misconceptions about today as far as Islam goes.
Yeah. Many people can watch this, actually. This actually had a great impact. I mean, purpose of life. Mm-hmm. I think you can go on the internet and just put Khalid Yassin, mm-hmm. purpose of life, mm-hmm. and I think it's out there. People can see it for free. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now you see this, and now there is some, okay, he explains the purpose of life, the concept of God. It's real simple. Mm-hmm. You know, one God, just God. All the rights are given to the Creator and not to demigods, semi-gods, mm-hmm. and all these other weird things. So what happens now? You need to start. Did you take the testimony of faith?
No.
No?
No. What I did was I kind of delayed it for a few weeks.
Uh-huh.
I asked my wife to...
Did you see, like, in the video where they have, like, you know, so many non-Muslims who become Muslim, they line up, there's like 20 of them.
Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله.
They all bear witness that there's no God but God, and Muhammad is the messenger.
Yes.
They all accept Islam.
No, I saw that, but you see, the thing was, you know, Shaitan was still, you know, whispering in my ears, like, that's not for you, man. You've got more important things to do, you know?
That reminds me, there is a hadith, an authentic saying from the last and final message of the mankind, Prophet Muhammad. He said, when a person is about to accept Islam, mm-hmm. the way of submitting and surrendering to the one God, Shaitan comes. He said, are you going to accept Islam and leave the religion of your forefathers?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to become a Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
So was this something like he was coming and some... You know, put pressure on you, you know, fear or what?
Well,
doubts.
I have to be honest, the doubts didn't come from that side, because I already, you know, knew in my heart that Christianity was not for me in what I understood and what I was taught. What I heard as far as Islam goes, I knew it was truthful and it was the truth, but I was still battling.
Yeah.
Because I knew I would have to change my life and I would have to stop certain things that I was doing and just, you know, become submissive to the religion of Allah.
Yeah.
So I delayed it, but my wife, I asked her, look, I'm so busy working in the studio, can you please go back and get me maybe part two or part three?
Yeah.
She went back, there was none.
Purpose of life,
part two
or three. And then part three.
Yeah. But when she went back, there was all gone.
Yeah.
And she got me a different lecture. It was called The Signs of the Hour.
Signs of the Hour, okay.
Oh, but when I listen to this...
That's from that French scientist that became Muslim?
No, that was from Sheikh Fayez from Australia.
All right.
At the time, that's where he was. I sat down and watched this. This was for about 2 hours long. And, in between that two-week period, I had gone to some lectures as well.
Yeah.
Where I'd listen to the speakers live.
So you're enticed by what's being presented about Islam. It's making sense. So because the time is short, what finally... has you come to the decision, like, you know what, I need to become one who is in compliance with the Creator wants me to do. I need to become a Muslim.
This is when I listened to this lecture where the brother spoke about the beast coming up from the earth, you know, having believer in your head, printed in your head, or non-believer, judgment day, and so on. These are the things that just finally made me realize there is no time to delay anymore. Because I delayed, like I said, for about 2 weeks.
Had you really focusing on death?
Death, yes, and also
you know, day of judgment.
The day of judgment, the mercy of Allah, you know, whether he decides whether he's going to, you know, have mercy on us on that day or not. And there was no way in this world that I could delay it for another second. I remember it was 12 o'clock at night. I wanted to take my shahada right then. I wanted to give it, you know, I wanted to do it right there on that spot.
Yeah. And did you?
I couldn't because it was 12 o'clock okay. at night. So what I did was I called the brothers first thing in the morning and I said to them, look, I have to do this now. So what they did was they invited me around to the house in the evening, and alhamdulillah, you know, I gave testimony of faith and took my shahada, and I've never looked back since.
We're going to be right back for more here on the Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Everything, this cup is in sincere submission to the one who created it, because it's following the rules of gravity. By definition, this is how we can say that Islam has been here since the very beginning of time.
Anywhere the Muslims went to, people embraced Islam in masses, countries, nations. And this is something that is amazing, never happened on the face of earth. When people saw a practical way of life, of being truthful, being honest, making sense of everything that they do. They worship and they buy and sell.
Now, you became a Muslim, and we're almost out of time. Again, did you have to go through any crazy, weird rituals? Did you have to go get dipped in a pool? What did you have to do to become one that has totally, consciously submitted to the one God? What did you do?
I just started to read.
No, what did you have to say?
Oh, what did I? Oh, sorry. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. My apologies.
I'm sorry. The shahada. Because okay. Before okay. We went to break, you said okay. You took the
right.
The, yeah.
I had to. First, it was said in Arabic.
Yeah.
But when the brother translated it, I had to say that I testify that there is one God, and His messenger is Muhammad. His final messenger is Muhammad.
So that there's no God worthy of worship except the one God. Yeah. You said that, and then Muhammad is the messenger.
Yeah.
Now, many people don't know when you say that. That includes all the preceding messengers,
mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, Moses, mm-hmm. Abraham. At their time, you would say the same shahada, the same testimony.
Mm-hmm.
There's no God but God, Allah, and Jesus is the messenger at that time. But today, the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we don't worship him, we don't elevate him to God or the right hand of God, but he's just a teacher, mm-hmm. instructor, a messenger that we follow
mm-hmm.
on how to get close to God. So most now certainly. You agree to that.
Most certainly.
What about the prayer now?
Well, this
ready
is,
for that 5 times a day.
Yeah, well, you know, that was one of the biggest battles and challenges for me, which was to actually learn the prayer so yeah. that I could offer it and perform it.
It took some time. Now, yeah. implementing Islam, the prayer, the second pillar of Islam, it's like a medicine. It starts to change your life, starts yeah. to keep you away
yeah.
from evil.
Yeah.
Now, just to fast forward, did you eventually start to implement it? And how did, by implementing Islam, did it develop your character? Did you start to leave off many of the evil vices?
Well, the thing that for me was, I obviously learned it in English first.
Yeah.
And those were the most inspiring words that I heard for a very long time. And I couldn't wait to learn Arabic, to be able to offer my salah in the language that has been prescribed by yeah. Allah for us to offer our salah.
Yeah.
Which took time, but I was in it straight away.
Yeah.
You know, because that's something I had to do.
So how do you feel now?
I feel like, you know, alhamdulillah, I could never stop. I feel I've been blessed.
Yeah.
I feel that all Muslims who've been guided, like if you've been guided to Islam, it's a blessing from Allah. It's a mercy from Him. And,
yeah.
you know, I couldn't, you know, one day there will not, inshallah, one day will not pass where, you know, I'd feel naked if I didn't say my prayers.
Yeah.
I feel like something is completely missing if I didn't.
You got the internal clock now. Yeah. Time. Yeah. It's time to prayer. Come
yeah.
to prayer.
No, certainly.
Come to success.
Come to success.
Drop it all. Make 5 minutes. Take
yeah.
5 minutes
yeah.
and just pause from chasing the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll get back to it.
What a beautiful feeling, though.
Isn't it?
To know that, you know, and sometimes, you know, believe it or not, I'm in the studio
yeah.
working today. And, you know, The closer the prayer comes, it's the more interesting the work's getting, the more intense, the more focused I'm getting. And but when I leave it and I stop it and I say to myself, right, time to go make wudu, ablution, and get ready for prayer, that is a beautiful feeling.
Allah, the Creator, has certainly blessed you because He gives the world, the riches to anybody, but when He loves someone, He gives them the proper understanding of the truth. And this is a proof and a testimony to the love that Allah, He's loving us, but your heart was open. It was open and you let it in. Some people just close, they just, you know, they're not ready. You gotta alleviate and get rid of and eradicate all the hatred and the enmity and this racism, and then open your heart. And you did that. This is amazing. Tell us now, you left off the music business, but you're now singing just vocal?
Yeah, just vocals, no musical instruments. And like I said before, when I used to do, you know, that music performances, I always felt like I was acting. And what I said, whether it had substance or not, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I had a recording studio. I was going to sell it, which I did.
You had your own recording studio?
Yeah.
You what did you do with it?
I sold my musical instruments. I got rid of quite a bit of equipment and was left to the bare essentials. Before I was going to get rid of that, I thought, let me just do one last song in this studio for old time's sake.
Yeah.
And I ended up doing my first nasheed.
Yeah.
Which was called None Greater Than the Creator.
None Greater Than the Creator.
That was my first nasheed.
Now, you got to give us a taste now. You got to give us a taste. The people who are viewing, you mentioned it, and many people already in the Muslim world know who you are. Can you sing it for us?
I'll give you a little rendition.
Yes, please. Go ahead. Please, take it away.
He created the universe. To Him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, He is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent His messengers to warn His creatures of the grave danger in worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
MashaAllah, Allah willed it. Thank you very, very much. If somebody wants to pick up one of your CDs, where can they get it?
Well, they can go to www.abdullahroll.com. And on that song you just heard is on the Patience album.
Patience.
Yeah, you can go and buy that online if you want to. Or my second album, which is called The Journey.
The Journey.
Yeah, there's some beautiful nasheeds on here. Heartwarming, and, you know, go out and support the cause. You'll see the work that I'm doing, inshallah.
And this is just your voice on these?
Just my voice, no musical instruments.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. That's amazing.
It's the mercy from Allah, bro. Yeah. Believe me.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I'd like to thank you and for sharing your story with us. And may Allah continue to bless you and keep you striding forward all the way to Jannah, paradise.
Ameen. You too, brother. Ameen.
Jazakallah khairan.
Barakallah feek, brother.
Thank you,
man. And these are for you, brother.
These are for me.
Those are for you.
Oh, mashallah, mashallah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And you've heard it here several times before, that there is none greater than the Creator. It's very simple to understand. There are so many people coming to Islam because Islam gives you peace. Peace with your Creator, peace within your very self, and then you can have peace with the society and everyone around you. Islam is calling you to peace. God Almighty is calling you to that which will bring you life. To be successful in this life, and not only in this life, to be the best in this life, the best character, the best manners, away from all sorts of evil and corruption. But then you'll be successful in this life and in the next. And we're all striving for paradise because death is a reality and the day of judgment is near. So let's be ready. Let's do the good deeds. But the foundation needs to be built on something strong. And that foundation is that you worship none but the Creator and not His creation. And you strive to follow and emulate the last and final messenger that was sent to mankind, the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon him. Thank you, and we'll see you next time here on The Deen Show. Until then, peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. There is none greater.